What is up, Act Dad family? My name is Mark Spont. Welcome to Act Dad, the awesome dad show. You are in for a treat today. I've got a great guest, Mr. Abiud Montes. He's a veteran of the Marines. He's an inspirational speaker. He's working on a book, just an awesome dad all around. He has some great input on how to empower your kids, how to deal with bullies. And if you walk away from this conversation with one thing, I think it's that you need to know who you are. In order to be your best self, you need to know who you are. That's really, really important. Abiud definitely puts a lot of credit on God in helping him to be his best self. But even if you aren't a religious person, I think that you can still get a lot of value out of what Abiud's bringing to the table. If you appreciate the episode today and you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe. I'd really appreciate that. And definitely check out Act Dad, the awesome dad group over on Facebook. It's a thriving community full of awesome dads just like you. With all that being said, let's get right into the conversation with Mr. Abiud Montes. I've got a great guest here for you tonight. He is a longtime Marine, been in the Marines for about 30 years, been a firefighter many, many years as well, and he is a motivational speaker. Just a really, really awesome dude. I cannot wait to get into this conversation. You're going to get a lot of value. He focuses a lot on leadership, handling bullies, and just how to work with other people. So, man, this is going to be awesome. Without further ado, I bring you Mr. Abiud Montes.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Stupendous, dude. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to help provide value both to me and the Act Dad family out there, man. I really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, and looking forward to this podcast. This is my third one this week, and I know it's going to be a good one.
I'm positive. Based on my investigation into your situation, I know it's going to be stupendous. So I'm stoked. I'm excited for it. Let me start here. You've done a lot of different things, a lot of exciting things. The first thing I want to ask you about is motivational speaking. How did you get into that, right? Because you started off joining the Marines back in the early 90s. And you know, how did you segue from that into the public speaking?
In 1991, I went to Desert Storm at 19 years old. And first of all, I don't wish combat on my worst enemy. An experience that in my life was, I'm actually writing a book about it. But with that being said, I got back and a good friend of mine from the Marines, Lance Corporal Zayas, calls me up, says, hey, I got a call from my niece's school in Miami Lakes, Florida, Catholic school, and they want to bring all the veterans in to speak to the students at an assembly. I'm like, you know what? That'd be pretty cool. He goes, hey, can you wear your dress blues? I'll wear mine. And, you know, we're going to be there with other military branches. I'm like, all right, sure. Show up. So the first Army guy goes up and speaks. There's a Navy guy there. And they have me come up and speak. And after I share my story, what the experience I went through in Iraq, all the kids stood up, Mark. And as they stood up, they all start clapping, and I mean, they just went crazy. And I was like, wow, it kind of took me back, because I remember being a public speaker. Well, not really a public speaker. Speaking in school, you know, is one of the worst things that most people fear, you know, dreading public speaking. And I remember speaking at times in school, reciting the Declaration of Independence. We had a project. And I remember my cheeks just shaking and my whole body just, you know, shaking. But the thing about this speech was it came from my heart. And I told them what I experienced and how it made an impact. And these kids just stood up going, you know, crazy. And then my buddy looked at me and goes, man, says, Ab, you got a gift. And I say, really? He goes, yeah, man. So he goes, all right, the next speaker. He goes, anybody got questions? And he turns around and looked at me. He goes, what am I going to say, you know, after your speech, you know? And we laugh, you know, we're still friends today. And that really started the speaking career in the sense of, people say, hey, I heard you went to combat. Would you come share your testimony at our church? Or would you come to our school? Would you come to career day? And as the time started building up, as years go on, you start writing more notes and things that went well, or things that the crowd really received and real engaged. And as time went on, I say from a motivational speaker, now I say an inspirational speaker.
Awesome. Well, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this discussion, I also just want to say thank you so much for your service, man. I mean, anyone that's willing to go to war and go into combat to protect me and to protect my children, I have an immense amount of respect for you, man. So thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate that.
For you.
huge service. You know, so that kind of segues me into another question that I have. Going into the service and going into these high risk situations, how do you separate your responsibilities at home, being a father, being responsible for your loved ones, your family, but also putting your life on the line to protect them overseas as well? Do you find that to be a real challenge, and how do you cope with that?
You know, Mark, currently I'm a firefighter lieutenant for the City of Hollywood Fire Department, and I've been there 25 years. So every single morning, I work 24 hours and then I'm off for 2 days. And then I go back to work for another 24 hours. You know, while I was in combat in 1991, Desert Storm, I wasn't married. I didn't have kids yet. In 2003, the initial push to Baghdad, the 54-day march up, I was not married at that time. So I didn't experience that family separation of wife and kids. But being a firefighter for the last 25 years, being married to my wife 15 years, my daughter is 14, and my son is 9. So obviously every third day now we experience me leaving and going for 24 hours. So I turn over the house to my wife and my kids. And I kind of joke with my son, he's 9, and I look at him and I say, Austin, I said, okay, daddy's going to be gone for a full day, 24 hours. You know, if I leave on Monday morning, I'm coming back Tuesday. I said, you're in charge now. You're the man of the house. I said, make sure you pray with mommy and Naya, your sister, and, lock the doors at night and do all the things that you see daddy do every night. He goes, yes, daddy, he's excited. So with leaving the family every day, I mean, it's a job. You think about firefighters, police officers, anybody in this service, that when we leave that door in the morning, we really don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to come back. Of course, I ask God, and every night when I pray with my family, I ask God that he protects me and my fellow firefighters and police officers, that we do come back. And one of the things we say at lineup every day is we're going home tomorrow, because we think about September 11th, those men and women that woke up that morning and went into the buildings. You know, they went there to save lives. But leaving that morning, when they said goodbye, they didn't know that it would be the last time they would say goodbye to their wife, to their kids. So, it's interesting sometimes, Mark, even when I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother my kids. But sometimes I'm going to wake them up and just give them a big hug before I leave. I know I'm coming back, but just let me, I'll go wake them up at 6:30 in the morning and say, daddy's leaving, and I'll give him a hug and a kiss. But, that's the separation that I deal with my kids now in the fire department, but not obviously with the military. But there are a lot of military members that go through that. And that's really tough, man, to be gone for 8-9 months, over a year of deployments. That's difficult.
I find that so compelling and so interesting to think about. Not only are you leaving your family for these periods of time, but you're putting yourself in very dangerous situations. To me, there's a lot of stress. And you're not just, because one of the things that I find when I became a father is it's not about me anymore. You kind of shift your lifestyle from being selfish to being selfless. And then you're separating it to a third degree by not only being selfless by providing for your family, but also being selfless by putting yourself in harm's way, potentially, even being a firefighter, right? You have to potentially be in dangerous situations. And I just think that's a really compelling thing, that fathers like you are able to pass the torch of leadership to your children, to your son, what have you, while you go off to help others.
Yes, definitely.
I also think that as fathers, it's really important for us to be able to instill confidence in our kids. You just gave us a pretty good example of that by putting all things aside and just diving in and giving them a hug, waking them up early. What are some other ways that you have instilled confidence in your children?
Mark, a couple of years ago, I was asked to go speak on Father's Day at a church and bring forth the Father's Day message. And a lot of people, I told them, hey, I'm doing this podcast with Mark, and he's going to talk about fathers. And I told him, my father was a good man, but he really didn't grow me up. He goes, well, you need to share that. Because I said, well, I don't think that's a good idea. He goes, no, you need to let him know that just because your father, and mom divorced and were separated, and really I didn't get to grow up with my father figure, and then I was split between, divorced family, you were still able to change and instill a father for your kids. And I said, I didn't think about it that way. So though I went through that growing up in New Jersey and my mom and dad split, I was in third grade, and it was very hard for me. I didn't understand a lot of what was going on. But I said, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. And what I did was I ended up writing 5 things that make a great father. And I believe I shared that with you. And that was one of the things that I think is important. You know, the 5 things, and I'll break them down. The 5 things are, number one, a father's a protector. Number two, he's a provider. He's a promoter. He's a priest. And he's a prophet. And then just to think about a protector, you know, a great father is concerned about the well-being and making sure that you're safe. That's number one. Right. You know, little things that you do for your kids, and, you know, you speaking into their lives and telling them, you know, about safety, situation awareness, their surroundings, where they're at. You know, every night, you know, I even though a firefighter, I got new windows and we got hurricane windows, and I show my son and daughter, okay, if we need to get out of the house and I'm not home, let me show you. All right, click this button, click this, push the window, you know, we got big sliders. Those little things about explaining that when daddy's not home, that they can be able to, you know, but understanding is still, I'm a protector for them. And, you know, that it's key. Number two is a provider. You know, a great father adds value to you. It's not always about money. He shares what? Knowledge. He shares wisdom, friendship, insight. You know, I think about today, I went to the VA hospital and I was registering. And my son says, "What's this, Daddy?" I said, "This is the VA hospital." "What's VA?" You know, I said, "Veterans." So he knows what a veteran is because, you know, I'm a veteran. And I asked him a simple question. "Well, what wars can you think about that we might see some people here?" And he's thinking and he says, "World War II?" I said, "Yeah, we might see." I said, "They'll be 96 years old." So here I am, just, you know, that moment, I'm able to share that moment with him. And I'm just sharing knowledge and insight. And we start talking about World War II, and we start talking about what these men and women did on D-Day, you know, December 6th, you know, and how they liberated, you know, France and the men and women in those countries. And he just looked at me and he was like, "Oh, that's cool." And so we walk in, you know, he's looking around and he goes, "They have a hospital just for veterans?" I said, "Yeah, they do." I mean, he was just fascinated. So, you know, I was just sharing, you know, value. And I think something like that, he might share it with somebody else. So I think that's important. The next thing I tell you, you have to be a promoter. It's not always about, in a sense, about yourself, but it's about others. It's about lifting up others. A great father's gift is to make others look good. You know what I mean? Mm. And, and that promotion, you know, is you know, I always say this in the military too. A lot of things that I've gained in life were from the military. One of the things that I heard a long time is promote in public and rebuke in private. You know, if you have an issue, I'm glad you do, man. Take it with your kids. If you got an issue with your son and daughter, when we get it back home, we're going to talk. Don't do it in front of public.
And that's also, I think, a really important thing when you're handling disagreements with your spouse or your woman. You really don't want to get into these major conflicts in front of your kids, right? Because you want to promote your partner in public, right?
You want to lift her up, and then behind closed doors, "Hey, honey, we need to talk. You know, there's a situation." Yeah. And I agree that definitely you can cross that over as being a father to being that, you know, promoter in front of the family and then celebrate them. But also when it's time to rebuke, to do it behind closed doors, one-on-one. And, you know, like when I talk to my son and I look, "Son, you know," I'll give him a hug and tell him, "Hey, I love you." And we'll go through that whole thing. The next thing is number 4 is a priest. You know, a great father is a priest of his home. I believe a prayer life is necessary, and the lack of prayer, probably your biggest sin. Every night we pray. And if I'm at the fire station, my wife calls. If I'm traveling on the road, if I'm speaking, we were in Phoenix at a conference, and I was with my wife. We call back home with the kids, and it's a ritual that we do. Every once in a while, I'll say, "Okay, Austin, you pray tonight. And then Naya, you pray." And then you start hearing them pray. You're like, "Wow, that's pretty powerful." You know, just to hear their words, because they learn from us, you know, and then they remember. You may not remember everything you say at night, but when you hear them say, you're like, they're listening. You know, you may not think they're listening, but they're listening, good and bad. You know, when you're saying things out your mouth. The number 5 is that you're a prophet. The father is a prophet. Why? Because a great father needs to speak to his children. He needs to always remind them that, and I do this with my kid, my son and daughter. I'll share it now. I was going to get into that later, but I say Nia Austin. We're driving to school. The great thing, I live in Plantation. They go to Nova, and we have about it's about 7 miles away. So we got about 15, 20 minutes. And every morning we do the same ritual in the sense of I say, Nia Austin, say, repeat after me, I'm a winner. And they go, Daddy, I'm a winner. I said, I'm a world changer. I'm a world changer. I am somebody. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I'm bright. And we do a laundry list of things that just come in my head. I'm blessed. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. And I just speak into their lives every day. And it's an interesting thing, Mark. Here I am. I'm sharing this story because I do a talk on leadership, ethical leadership. And I'm in front of a very large crowd. And one gentleman stands. You know, we always have a heckler, which is fine. He stands up and goes, that doesn't work. You know, because someone is always, there's always going to be someone, a naysayer. There's always, and it's okay. You know, you write something on Twitter and someone says, yeah, whatever. You write something on Facebook, you write something on LinkedIn. There's always going to be that one person that's not going to agree with you. That's part of life. You know, they didn't agree with Jesus, right? But anyway, he tells me that doesn't work. So I said, stand up, sir. Don't sit down. And, you know, because now he interrupted the flow. So I asked him a simple question. I'll just use for tonight, for example. Today's Thursday. And I'll ask you the question, Mark. Mark, did you eat breakfast on Tuesday? Tuesday, did you eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner at any time?
You know it.
Yeah, okay. And Wednesday, did you have any of the three meals or snacks?
Sure did.
And today, did you wake up hungry at any time? You're like, damn, I can't wait to eat.
Oatmeal, that's right.
So I could say to you, you know what? What you had on Tuesday and Wednesday didn't work because you still woke up hungry. And that's the thing. That's the thing. You have to speak into your kid's life and tell them who they are. Mm. You know, like I said, you're a world changer. You're the head, not the tail, all those things. And, you know, a great father tells them what they can be. And what they can become.
Well, I really like the way that you articulate this. And I was speaking to another dad a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things we were talking about is how to empower your kids, right? And so something that's really common for dads like myself do is say, son, I'm proud of you. And he said, well, you don't want to tell your kid that you're proud of them. You want to instill them to be able to say, I'm proud of myself, right? And I thought about that. And it sounds like you do that too with them, with these positive affirmations that they're saying daily to say, I'm a winner, I'm a fighter, I'm a, you know, all these different things. So I think that's really positive. I've actually started to implement that a little bit into my parenting strategy, if you would.
When you incorporate those things, you know, you speak to their destiny, not their predicament. And the key thing is also one of the things I teach is one of my series is how to handle a bully. And how do you handle a bully? You handle a bully, Mark, by knowing who you are. You know, the outcome, I usually say this at the end, it starts with you. Mm. Because if you know who you are, then it doesn't matter what anybody says. So my daughter's at school and a kid looks at her and says, you stupid dummy. Does she get mad? Does she cry, get emotional? Does she turn around and punch him in the face? You know, no. She smiles at him. And what we say is anything that's positive is green. So we do a model of green and red. So anything that is green is someone that is positive, kind, friendly, tactful. They have initiative, good leadership traits. You know, they apologize. Those are green leaders. And when I do my leadership, I kind of incorporate this on green managers, how they shouldn't treat their employees. And then we talk about that red manager or the bully, you know, the one that's red, the one that has the virus, right? If you're sick, Mark, and I may come into your office and you're like, you're coughing. You say, don't come in. I don't want to get you sick. And that's what a bully is. A bully has a virus. And basically when they start to speak their words or physically abuse you, verbally abuse or anything, they have a virus. And when those things happen to you, if you let those things affect you, then it's going to really, you know, it's going to turn you red. So in an instance, if someone goes in your face and you see this all the time, they'll road rage or, you know, someone in the, you know, at Publix, you know, trying to get the same lane and they, you know, fighting to go first and someone will say something into their life. And then the other person immediately hears those words and they get right back in their face.
Yep. Well, you see it on social media every day. People get triggered by what someone says on Twitter. And then before you know it, you spend a half hour just spewing anger and nobody feels better about it.
Exactly.
Right. Everyone feels worse.
You're right. So what happens is when someone speaks into your life, if it's negative and you get mad at those quotes, that means you believe what they're calling you. So you have to understand as a father, when you speak in your child's life, that you're building them up when they are going to be dealt with a bully, that they don't get mad or angry because the bully's calling them a bad word or, you know, the N word, you know, and they get all upset. No, they're not going to get upset because they know who they are. You see, how do you handle a bully? You handle a bully by knowing who you are. It starts with you. If you know who you are, doesn't matter what anybody said. Don't matter if you're in the Dolphin locker room and, you know, you're 6'5", you know, 300 pounds, and the other guy's, you know, 6'4", and he's 280, and he calls you a name, and you get all upset, and you're like, oh, you hurt my feelings. No, man. You know who I am? I'm an offensive tackle for the Miami Dolphins. There's 32 teams in the NFL, and there's two people in this position. That's 64 people in the entire United States, 350 million people. You know who I am? I am the – and you got to know who you are. You know who you are? You know what? Nobody can touch you. Nobody can touch your kids if you speak those words of affirmation. No one can touch your wife. Nobody can touch anything. You understand, people speak in to get you upset, to get you mad, to get you angry. And some people do it on purpose. Like, oh, watch this. Watch, we're going to call Johnny something. Hey, Johnny, this, and whatever they may say. And then they start laughing. Yeah, we got him, because they get frustrated. And that's what it is. It's so simple. You handle a bully by knowing who you are.
And I mean, it can be really hard. It's so hard in this day and age, especially, I think, as fathers. There's just, you look at fathers in the media and around any sort of entertainment type of situation. The fathers are never the heroes. They're the doofuses. They're the mess ups. They're the guys that just don't get it, that are past their prime. And I think that message is seeped into not only our culture as a whole, but into fathers. So I really like the idea of words of affirmation, just waking up for a couple minutes in the morning and saying, hey, I am great. I am strong. This is knowing who you are.
Yes.
Is a really powerful way to combat that. Yep. Are there any other tactical or practical tools that I could maybe implement to emphasize who I am, to find out who I am as a father, right?
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of the stuff from the Bible. I'm a Christian. And, you know, look at the word, you know, our Father, right? The Lord's Prayer, what they call the Lord's Prayer. The key words, our Father, just those two words. When you think about those two words, right? First of all, our, you can't say like this, closed arms. Immediately when you say our, you have to open your arms because, you know, when you're talking about Jesus, he's our Father. It's not just my Father, but he's your Father too, Mark. So he opens his arms. And when you say the word Father, as a child, when you look at your dad, your father, you always look up to your dad. So in two words, our Father, we have the cross. In two words, where everything began. And if you know who your father is, if I know my father, my heavenly father, right, then I know that I'm not a bastard child running around wildly. I am, you know, he's the king. I'm the prince. He's the king of kings. I am somebody. I am. And when you start understanding who you are in Christ, man, watch out. What do you say? You know, anybody that tries to speak in your life, you don't know who I am, man. I'm blessed. Anointed, and you share that same things with your kids. You let them know, hey, you know, you are somebody. And that positive motion, I mean, it's important. Go ahead, Mark. I see you.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking through this, and that type of logic makes sense to me. You know, I've really been fascinated by the numbers and what happens to kids that don't have access to their fathers, right? They end up looking elsewhere to find answers to their problems, whether it's gang leaders or terrorists or various other just really bad ways to go, right? And so I guess by having a father who you can look up to and provides you that moral high ground, that path, not only is it important for kids, but I could see that making that make sense for fathers too. You have to know who you are. And so that's another great way, I think, just connecting yourself with the community and with, like you said, your heavenly father. So I think that's a positive thing also, 100%. You know, so I'm just kind of breaking down these five things you said that every father needs to be: protector, provider, promoter, priest, and prophet. It strikes me that not on that list is friend, right? You don't have to be your kid's friend. And I believe that pretty strongly, that we as fathers need to be role models, right? We're not the boss. We're not their friend. We're role models. what would you say to that is as far as have to be a role model? You know, do you think that's important, or do you think it's more important to be a friend? Where are you on that that scale?
Well, I think what happens today is that adults try to be their kid's best friend. I'm your friend. I'm cool like you. They still need some type of direction, some type of order. Like today when I was talking to my son, I still had a good time. We were walking side by side like friends at the VA hospital, but yet he still knows that I'm his father. You know, that he understands that. And I think once you try to be a friend, and maybe sometimes friends will be like, oh yeah, go ahead and do that. Don't worry about it. You can get away with that. Or, you know, I think you lose that understanding, and then they get comfortable. And then, you know, you'll see some, maybe at the supermarket or something, where a kid will yell back or curse at their mother, you know, and I've heard horrible things. Or daddy says you're stupid, you know, cause they're divorced, and they start, you know, acting out what they saw in their dad, and they don't respect. And once the kids lose respect for their parents, I think that's when you're going to start having trouble. We see it in you know, you go on TV, right? People love what? Trauma. I say drama creates trauma.
Okay. That's interesting because you're right. We're kind of drawn to that drama. And like you said, being around a red person kind of spreads that. And we're almost drawn to it in a way as humans. But yeah, there's a lot of trauma that falls off on the back end. I work with a lot of dads who are in bad situations, and it's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard to overcome the problems between the husband and wife, or the male and female. It's just so hard. And the kids get end up caught at the crossfire there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I go to homes and speak to kids that are, you know, foster kids and stuff like that don't have fathers. So I think giving back as a mentor and trying to make a difference is important. I volunteer for the last 10 years with the Freedom Foundation. We take 100 kids to Valley Forge. We teach them about leadership, but we speak into these kids' life. Most of them parents are divorced. But if you can be that other role model, that they can see men in leadership. And, you know, when we do our trips, we equal as many females, we do as many males. We try to give them that balance, understanding that everything has a balance. You know, it's great if you have 10 female volunteers. You know, you got a lot of female role models, which is great. But if you're missing the male, so what we do in our organization is we balance it out one for one. If I got 5 females, I'm having 5 males. We want them to understand, you know, because there's certain things that a mom can only understand as being a mom. And there's certain things that a dad, and, you know, both of them synergistically make it complete.
Right.
If you just have one, you're always missing that you're not balanced. If you only have that male and no female, it's the same thing. So it works hand in hand. Definitely.
I've been really fascinated by that too. I think that there's this lie that's been propagated by society that you can get away with one parent, but man, when you've got both the mom and the dad working harmoniously or co-parenting, the numbers speak for themselves. You have a kid that's generally speaking going to be more well-balanced. So you'd brought up a point earlier in just kind of the way I could tell you're very disciplined. You're very well thought out about how you parent. By being in the Marines, how much of that has rolled over to your parenting style and impacted the way that you parent?
Well, I don't treat them like we're in boot camp. Understand, you know, people say, do you ever yell at your kids? Have I spoken up? Yes. There's a difference between yelling, and there's a difference between speaking loud. My son, Austin, one day was running across the street, and as he was running, there was a car coming. I spoke up loudly, Austin, watch out! Because he didn't see the car. So I needed to get his attention to warn him about the car. So that's one way. It's another thing when you speak up and belittle and break down. Because when you start to speak into your child's life, and say, you're nothing, you're stupid, you're dumb. And then they start believing this as well. My dad believes I'm dumb. My mom thinks I'm worthless. Then might as well just what? Might just end it all right now. That's why you see kids that they don't know who they are, and they'll get on social media, and they'll, you know, someone will be typing on the keys, tap, 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 kill yourself, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. And before you know it, they start receiving those words, and they got no role model, nobody there talking to them. Yeah, my mom says I'm stupid. My dad says I'm ugly. You know, now I'm getting multiple emails of people telling me, end it, and then they commit suicide. You know, ultimately, you know, it's a breakdown in the family, which starts in the home. And then the social media, it's another type of what we call cyberbullying. You know, there's verbal bullying, there's you know, physical bullying, there's cyberbullying, and it's horrible. When you read that a 14-year-old female just killed herself because, you know, she was online and everybody told her, end it all, you know, and that's a lie straight from the enemy. And, you know, I, in one of my chapters, I'm writing a book, I have a thing called HVT. So, Mark, what I tell, one of the things I learned in the military in the 30 years is as you study, you learn about what's called a high-value target. So one of my chapters in my book is called HVT, stands for high value target. And a high value target is someone that is basically the brain of the operation. Think of anybody, Osama bin Laden, think of Saddam Hussein, think of, you know, anybody who was a dictator or someone that you say, you know, well, this person's a bad person and we really need to take them out. Hitler, Stalin, Castro, anybody that is you know, doing really bad things, understand. So I flipped it in this chapter and I changed it. Well, you're the high value target, Mark. I'm the high value target. Why am I a high value target? Why are you high? Because anytime in your life, I'm 49 years old. And in my life, I've gone through ups and downs. We all go through ups and downs. It's part of life. It's like a roller coaster, right? We got ups, we got goods, and we got bads. Yep. But the key thing is that when the thought comes in your mind, Mark, to end it all, throw in the towel, to pull the trigger, take the pills, to whatever you're thinking about doing, that means the enemy thinks that you are so valuable that they want to take you out. Mm. They want to take you out because they believe you're going to make it. So if the enemy believes you're going to make it, Mark, how much more do I have to believe? So every time the thought comes in my mind, I get excited now because I know, you know what? I'm right here, and my breakthrough might be my next step, my next day, tomorrow. It might be something. And if I end it, I'll never reach that potential. This year in February, I mean, for some reason, I was going through a tough time. Eight, nine people died around me. There were some things. Everything was going chaos. And the thought came upon me, and I said, no, you know, I said, God, somebody wants to take me. I'm the high-value target. And I got excited. And when I got excited, you know, 2 days later, I got called up to go speak at a conference in Phoenix. I'd never been to Phoenix, Arizona. But I got to go speak at a conference in front of amazing people. And I would have never reached that potential. I would never be on your show today if I would have did that. You may not have a podcast. If you, when you were going through your situation, Mark, you may not be here. But you see, there's more for you. There's so much. You think of this little platform of a podcast. This is the beginning. Man, this is going to be worldwide known all over the nation. And God is going to bless you tremendously in such a way that you have no idea. So every time you go through that situation, remember, Mark, just get excited, man. You're a high-value target. The enemy believes in you. I need to believe in me. And I mean, jump for joy. You need to jump for joy. When things like that come in your life, that's what you have to understand. So with that in my life, I just started writing, man. That came in my heart the other day. And about 35 minutes, I just got on the keyboard and I started typing. I posted it on LinkedIn and I just wrote it. And immediately, like 30, 45 people wrote, oh my God, this is, you know, something I need to hear. And, you know, and you start hearing people giving you feedback. You're like, man, if I would have ended, they wouldn't, who are you touching today? Who are you impacting? What life are you making a difference? There might be this one thing that we share on this podcast today, Mark, that someone somewhere is thinking about suicide, that's thinking about throwing in the towel. They're hearing the words that we're talking about today, and they're saying, you know what? There's more for me. And there is more for me. There's more for you. This is we're in a, I mean, I think we're in an exciting time in life, man. It's just what's going on and what's happening. It's like a fire. I'm ahead of myself. I'm so pumped up of what I see happening and what's going to happen in your life and my life. And I'm happy that we connected, man. And I think we're just going to continue to do more things and greater things when we meet and get together. And you know, I know we met through a mutual friend, Bob Sutton, and also through LinkedIn. But man, social media and people are I love people. People are amazing, and it's just great, man.
It's really powerful.
Tangent there, man, but I'm just pumped up just thinking about that high value target.
I really love that for a few reasons. A, it re-emphasizes the point that you need to know who you are, right? You need to know who you are, because there's always going to be voices trying to get in there and plant seeds of destruction in your brain. You have to know who you are first so that you can protect yourself against that, because you're right. You are valuable. I mean, if you're a human being, you have value. If you're a father, you have a lot of value, because there's a lot of people that require you to be there. And that's really powerful. And the second thing is that I've never heard this kind of like this way of thinking about it. So it's really interesting. I'm still kind of processing the high value target concept. It's really interesting. And it's also something that we don't really talk about. Very rarely are people talking about, man, I'm so depressed. I'm just like, I'm done with it. But you see it all around you. You see it all around you. I mean, I could list probably 10 people here. It's just like people who have it all, but they let the thought creep in, and they like it the best of them.
I remember sitting down one day and I said, man, it's a horrible thing that Elvis Presley died. And they go, Elvis Presley's not dead. I'm like, he didn't die? I thought he died. The next day he died. I hope I'm not speaking prophetic words. And then I'm thinking, man, I really like this comedian. He's on Saturday Night Live. I can't remember his name. He was a real funny comedian.
Farley.
He died of a drug overdose. And I'm thinking, man, that's like, this is horrible, man. These people's lives were short.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson. I was flying. I booked my tickets that morning to go to London to go see one of the 50 concerts. Believe it or not, I used to have curly hair, and they used to call me Michael Jackson back in high school, in middle school anyway. And here I am. And then that afternoon, I'm like, oh, they, I hear the news. I got sweaty eyeballs because Marines don't cry. We just get sweaty eyeballs. But, you know, horrible when you think about people that die before their time. I saw the movie of Freddie Mercury the other day, you know, Queen. And, you know, I just looked at the talent of this young man and, you know, just the lifestyle choices. I was like, you know, I love music, and I just think of music, how powerful it is. You know, when I was in Iraq, I would listen to music and how it would make it, it was an escape for me, you know.
Yeah.
Going to, you know, you're it's almost like receiving mail. I always tell people, if you guys are a military member deployed overseas, write them as much. That's a lost art, right? We don't write no more. We just text, or we, you know, little messages. Get a pen and paper and write them, man. And that same thing, when I listened to music, or when I got that letter and read it, it took me away from all the chaos, and it just brought me in, you know.
I love that, man. It's sometimes the simple things, or just telling someone that, you know, I like the way your shoes look. It's sometimes the simple positive things that you send out that can just really make a difference in people's lives. But the thing that I really love about what you're doing and what you're talking about is all about self-empowerment. And to me, based on our discussion, what that really comes down to is knowing who you are.
Yes.
And do you have any other tips or tools for knowing who you are? We've talked about a few. Anything else that you do daily that helps? Do you find routine maybe to be an important part of knowing who you are?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, it comes down to a routine. And I think when you do it with your kids and you see them light up and sharing it. When I was in Cleveland, Ohio at the Human Resource Convention, I'm a certified SHRM speaker. So Society of Human Resources, SHRM. So my leadership talk is certified through SHRM. So the good thing is that when I get a call from a conference and they know I'm certified, I can speak about leadership and ethical leadership, and I'm able to share these things with managers. I mean, I think the biggest thing is if you're a leader, a lot of people have not been taught leadership. And
right.
They get in positions of leadership and they have no idea what they're doing. And they think, you know, they think, oh, well, I need to yell and scream. And, you know, I was sometimes I got to be careful what companies. I don't like to talk about people's name. But, you know, think about Texas and the new CEO came in, and it was a female. And she thought that the proper way to talk to her employee was cursing and yelling. You know what? Immediately, she lost a lot of senior top people. Top staff is gone. They say, I've been here, 30 years. You're not going to come in here and start disrespecting me. You know what? I'm going to retire. The company will crumble. You'll ruin the organization. I share on four blind spots of leadership. The four blind spots, there's unknown to you and unknown to me. That would be the first one. And that would be the blind leading the blind. So I usually share a story. When I was in Iraq, the Army came by. God bless them. I got a lot of friends in the Army, and I'm not trying to put anybody down, but it was the Army in the middle of the night. They got their lights on. I see them coming. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? It's like a Christmas Day parade. You know what I mean? And they get up to us, and they said they were lost. And I said, first of all, I asked them, hey, what is that in that computer? They go, that's a Blue Force track. I'm like, what's that? They go, it's a GPS. And I literally come out and say, well, I'm going to use my phone as an example. I was like, I got my compass and I got my map. And that's all I got. And I didn't get lost. But later on, I was watching some news channels, and there was a story about an Army unit and Jessica Lynch. And they say, yeah, we ran into the Marines, and they didn't tell us where to go. So when you think about the blind leading the blind, ultimately, it can create problems in combat. Mm. So there's a saying that there's a book. There's actually a book called Leadership Blind Spots. I think it's Karen Bakley. I think she's the author. But one of the things it says, leadership blind spots are unproductive behaviors that are invisible to us but glaring to everyone else. Our behavioral blind spots create dire and unintended consequences. It says they corrupt decision making, reduce our scope of awareness. They create enemies. They destroy careers and sabotage business results. It says in good times, blind spots are annoying and frustrating. In tough times, they can be lethal. So think about the blind leading the blind. Man, in a combat situation, that's lethal because you don't know and I don't know. You know, and unknown, that's an unknown blind spot. And then we got the other one is known to you and known by others. So think about this is the open arena. A lot of companies, organizations, they know that person shouldn't be in position of leadership. For example, this is my son, and he's going to take over. He's going to be your boss. You know, I'm going to say, Mark, I'm going to use you. Mark, this guy's going to come in, and I'm putting him in charge of you, but this is what I want you to do, Mark. I want you to train him, but he's your boss. What? So he knows. You're laughing because you probably
that'll work.
He knows that he doesn't know, and you know he doesn't know, but we still do it. We do it every day in corporations, Fortune 500 companies, and that's an open arena. It can be deadly. You know, I mean, just putting a person in position because they know somebody but they don't know their job. And, I've seen that time and time again where people say, well, can you train this person? They're taking over your job, but you're going to train them. So I'm not good enough but you want me to train? Okay. And then you have the blind spot, known by others but unknown to self. So I always use a scenario when I'm speaking in front of the crowds. I use two different scenarios. One of them is say, Mark, I'm going to go speak in front of thousands of people. And say we work together now and things are going well, but for some reason lately I've gotten really red, right? I've gotten arrogant and, you know, look at me, look who I am. You know, you got to probably bring me back down to earth. You know, hey, you got to talk, you know, hey. Be humble, you know what I mean? Humble beginnings, right? We got to remember that. But say I'm going to go out and speak, and you say, Ab, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, Mark, I got to go. Don't you see? I got to talk in front of – and I just got to tell you one quick thing. And you're like, get out of here. I got to go. And I go and speak in front of all these people, and then I come back out, and I say, Mark, what did you want? And he goes, man, I just wanted to let you know your zipper was down. Now, remember, as leadership, there's times that things are unknown to me but known to you, and you share them, and I get mad. You know what that means? There's another thing I teach it, and you probably heard it. It was a movie. It was a big line in the movie. Tom Cruise, he said, you can't handle the truth. You know, with Code Red, he goes, you want the truth? He goes, yeah, I want the truth. He goes, you can't handle the truth. And a lot of times people say, I want the truth. And you tell them the truth, and they get angry. They don't want the truth.
It's hard. It's hard. I mean, I manage a small office, and I know there's shortcomings that I have, right? But sure. A lot of times I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear about them. It's really hard to absorb that. I think everybody struggles with that to an extent, because you need to know who you are, but you need to be self-aware enough and have an inner circle that's able to give you constructive criticism. And I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with. Yeah. A lot of dads struggle with it too. I ran a poll the other day. I had about 400 people answer back, and I said, hey, what did you do to prepare for fatherhood? And about 85% said they did nothing. They didn't read a book. They didn't listen to. They did zero. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you're about to embark on something you've never done before. The stakes are high. You're going to be dealing with it for the rest of your life. And you didn't even watch a video on it. To me, that's a big blind spot there.
Mark, let's do a conference with the dads in South Florida. Let's do a dad. Things to prepare you to become a better father. How's that?
I'm all about it, dude. I mean, that's what Act a Dad's about. Act a Dad is all about making it exciting and making a brand that dads can connect with and say, man, I want to have that connection with my kids. I want to be fulfilled. I want to take these steps forward and be an active part of my kids' lives. That's something I'm really passionate about. And I can tell you are as well, just by the way that we've chatted here. And I love some of the ways, some of the tactics that you are using to empower your kids and teach them who they are. And there are definitely some things I'm going to apply to my everyday parenting style as well.
That's great. You know, You mentioned that, and I was talking the other day, and someone says, you know, I'm using what you shared with my kids. I'm like, that's awesome. When you hear somebody, like I said, if it's just one thing that I'm able to share, I think that's great.
And makes a difference, man.
100%. The last and final blind spot is the one, you know, I do like a survey with when I'm speaking and when I have time, because sometimes I speak for 45 minutes. This training can be from 9 to 5. It could be 9 to 12. It could be a 2-hour training. It could be a 45-minute training. So obviously when I do my 45-minute training, we do less interaction and less surveys. But, you know, I'll ask them out of the 4 blind spots, and the last one we didn't talk about was unknown to you but known to me. And I really don't like that one. I was speaking in Utah, and somebody says, oh, yeah, I like that. That's fake it till you make it. I believe 100%, you know, yeah, you don't know, I don't know. So let me just fake it till I make it. You know, I think about there was an incident one time in the Marine Corps, and there was a guy teaching a compass class, and he's talking about, you know, all these different things about the compass and the different settings, how to, you know, true north and magnetic north. And he's saying, and he says something, and in front, I said, wait a second, that's not right. And then one of the younger Marines, a Lance Corporal, you know, been in the Marine Corps probably less than a year, said, Sergeant, you said this. I think, you know, and he said it tactfully. He didn't say, you're wrong, you know, this. He said, hey, I think you may have made the sergeant, instead of admitting it, what did he do? He goes, I was just testing you.
Yeah.
The guy looked bad, man. You know, he was faking it till he made it. And instead of owning it up, saying, you know what, you're right, I made a mistake, said that wrong. Thanks for letting me know. Yes, everyone, this is the correct way. That's a humble person, man. And that's how we have to be as dads. We have to be humble, but yet, you know, we still have to be able to understand that we make mistakes. You know, we're human. If we didn't make mistakes, they wouldn't make pencils with erasers, right?
If you're not making mistakes, you're not doing it right. That's for sure. The most successful people are the people that have made the most mistakes, sure. I think, is what I like to look at it. Well, Abby, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join me here today. I will put links in the show notes here. Check out abiudmontes.com. Great guy. A lot of really positive stuff. We just touched the tip of the iceberg here on what he's doing. And, man, I just really appreciate you taking a few minutes to come on the show here today, man. It really means a lot.
No problem. And if you want to get a hold of me, abiudmontes.com. That's abiudmontes.com. Or another way, just a speaker, speaker.montes@gmail.com. I have a YouTube channel. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter. Starting to do a little bit more Twitter, but those social media areas. And I try to post a couple times a week and just give some motivational tips and some positive things that was going on. Hopefully something that I share will change your life and make a difference and make you a better father.
Well, I could tell you that the words of affirmation and repeating those things, that is something I'm absolutely going to do with my kid. I think in this day and age, you have to know who you are. I mean, if I when I go to name this show, it's know who you are, because that's what it is. That's the key, man.
I like it, man.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to Act a Dad, the Awesome Dad Show. It really means a lot that you would listen. I hope you got a lot of value out of today's episode. I just really love what Abiud is bringing to the table. His words of self-affirmation and knowing who you are. Man, it's sometimes it's the most simple things. If you enjoyed the episode, please just take a minute and subscribe. I come out with a new, fresh podcast every single Monday. You're going to love the guests that are coming. There's more great episodes on the way. And make sure you subscribe. And also, as a reminder, check out Act a Dad, the Awesome Dad group over on Facebook. Phenomenal community. I know that if you join, you will love it. With all that being said, hey, have an awesome week, and I will catch you next time. Peace.